it's not a series. That's not the right word. But God gave me this one word, and so I'm going to preach on it. It's the joy of the Lord. So I'm saying don't leave here today down. I'm saying leave here with the joy of the Lord that is your strength. We sang that song, Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's where I draw my strength. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn, otherwise just kind of stay with me here. But we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah, and you could preach just on Nehemiah, but I'm not today. But I am, but you could preach a whole from Nehemiah, the cupbearer for the king Xerxes. I mean, it's crazy. He goes back, you know that story, I'm not preaching that whole story, but he goes back, Ezra is already there, and they've been trying to work, but Nehemiah's, he's like the governor, and he's like pretty sharp guy, and so they're going to get some things done. And so he says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions for those for whom nothing is prepared. Now that's a kind of an important statement. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to drop down and read Psalm 42, a few verses, and then we'll pray and go. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then shall I come and appear before God. Or excuse me, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, other people, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For yet shall I praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Father, would you help us today to understand that our strength and our portion and our ability to live in a sin-sick world comes from you. We do not, praise God, have to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, because we can't. But if we will trust God, as difficult as life will be, can be, or may be, as difficult as it is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell this story from time to time. It's my best story for this, what comes from Psalms 42, when we're in a bad place and people look up at us and say, where's your God? Because, and that was our Sunday school lesson this morning. That's what we talked about. God said, I've done everything I can for you. Why do you keep producing bad fruit? Why do you keep producing wild grapes when I've tended the vineyard as hard as I have? And I remember being, I know you've heard this, but I'm just telling again because it gets to the point. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. Man, I'd led him to the Lord in my kitchen uptown. And he had told me that day, he said, I'm dying. And I mean, he walked up to my door, came in my house. We sat there and talked. And he said, I'm dying. And I was like, you know, I didn't think he looked like he was dying. But he told me that he had a lung disease and that he was going to eventually get to where he couldn't breathe, and they could put him on a ventilator for a while, but eventually even the oxygen in his lungs would not go out into the arteries, that he would die and not live. And he said, but I'm not ready to die. And I said, well, I understand that. You're not that old. He said, no, that's not what I mean. I'm not ready to die. So that day, sitting at my kitchen table, he gave his heart to Jesus. And while we were praying, he started crying, and he scooted over and laid up on my shoulder like a child. And I put my arms around him, and we just cried. But he prayed through to Jesus got up and walked out of my house and lived ready to die after that. And so now that day has come. We're in Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. He is on a ventilator, but he has given that at the ascribed time, the ventilator would be turned off because he's not going to live like that. And I'm standing in the room, and they said, you know, we don't know how long he'll live. It could be a while. So several of the family went to get a bite to eat. They were going to come back and sit in the vigil of waiting. They unhooked him. He died pretty close to immediately. I mean, his oxygen levels just went to nothing, and he went to sleep and was dead. His mother and sister were gone. They went to get a bite to eat, thinking that they needed that because they would be there, you know, until he wore out. She walked back, came to the door. They had, you know how it is. They turned the sheets down, elevated him just a little, turned on the light up high, but it was dark. And she looked in there. The room was full of people, friends and family, not full, but numbers of them. And she walked to that door and saw her son laying there dead. Ran over. This is his mother, has outlived her son. She fell across that bed, began to weep, looked up. Of all the people in there, she looked up right at me and said, "Where is your God now?" You ever felt about that tall and like, there's commercials, you know, it says, you want to get away? I wanted to get away. I wanted to not be right there. But I put my hand down on her and I said, "He's right here." That's what I said. She later on joined our church. Started coming. She's elderly. She's still alive, but she's very elderly and can't go to church. Got a Christmas card, and she said, "Man, I really hate that I can't come to church." But that day, where is your God? But she came to understand later on. You know people like that? Maybe you're like that. Maybe you say, "Where is God when I needed him?" I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you're sorrowful, why, soul, are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Man, that's good stuff. I got to go. If I ask everyone in this room to write down the definition of joy, pass it to the front, and we're just going to get about 10 people and read them, we would have one large pile that would say being happy. Most people would say joy equals being happy. And guess what? If you look it up in the dictionary, that's right. That's the definition of joy. The question then becomes, what makes you happy? What is it that makes you happy? If I just had enough money, I would be happy. We can check with some lottery winners, the ones that are alive. For some reason, people win the lottery and some of their cousins kill them. I guess because they didn't win it. You can ask all kinds of people if money really makes you happy. When you don't have it, you think it would. When you have it, it's killing you. Money's not it. If only I was well, if I was physically well. The list is forever. What makes you happy? And you know what it is? It's always going to be things that are slightly out of reach. Wow. We're talking about the joy of the Lord, not the joy of me. Did you see that in Nehemiah 8:10? The joy of the Lord is my strength. What makes him happy that he would give me that would then make me joyful? That's what we got to kind of find out. So it should be joy in the Lord. Joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord, but our joy is in the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying there? I read one guy who said it properly. Our joy is because of the Lord. And that's okay too. Our joy, our happiness comes from a personal relationship with God that says, no matter what my circumstances are, I'm still in that relationship that brings me joy. That's got to be the foundational issue for us. He says in Psalm, the psalmist said, "My tears have been my food day and night." Maybe you've never been there. I don't know. Maybe you've never had a tough time in your life. I pray you haven't, but I can only predict that if you haven't, you will. Most people are either coming up out of a valley, going down into a valley, or they're in the valley. That's just kind of like how life goes. It's tough. It's not always fun, and it's not always happy by my definition. But we don't quit living. We keep pressing on, and God helps us. I'm not being unrealistic when I tell you that we can have joy in the Lord regardless of our circumstances. Somebody wrote a song. They should ban it, but I think you can still pull it up on the internet. Don't worry. Apparently some of you already know the other part of it. Don't worry. Be happy. Huh? Isn't that the goofiest thing you've ever heard of? Don't worry. Well, see, that to me is unrealistic. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, what you will eat or what you will put on. For the Gentiles think about those things. So he said, don't worry. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I know what you have need of even before you ask it. I will provide. My God shall provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. See, we have to understand why we think that. I'm not going to say, well, you know, no matter what, I'm going to paint a smile on and go on. That's not real. That's not real. That's not deep. That's fake. And that's not joy. It's not even happy. Boy, sorry, I just thought of another song. The Clown. It was in the 60s. The Clown. He says, I paint my face happy. But if you get a little too close, you'll see the tracks of my tears, because you're gone and I'm crying and this smile is painted on. I don't remember the words. That's probably before I was born, but probably not. Wow. See, I'm talking about deep-seated joy because of the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ that says when I hurt, I run to him. When I'm happy, I run to him. When I need him, I run to him. What? This has been a good day. I got reminded again this morning, man, I'm not for canceling church very easy. I'm not for missing days like this when I have felt God's presence powerfully moving over people's lives. Can you imagine? Point number two, what if we didn't have a Bible? What if we did not say, boy, you know, over here in Philippians, it's, what about Romans? And, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, what if we did not have that? Think about it for just a moment. Now, I'm going to go back. See, let's make it even a little worse. Let's say we had a Bible, but it was in Spanish. We would be looking for us a Spanish-speaking person to read, and then a person who could understand Spanish, who could translate. Do you know how hard it would be to hear the Word of God if it was in a language we didn't know? And we had to get somebody to explain it to us? How many of you are familiar with the book of Nehemiah? Those people were back after the Babylonian captivity. All the young people that had been carried off had learned Babylonian. They had gone to school there. They were aliens. They were undocumented citizens in another country. They got to come home, but guess what? The young ones don't know Hebrew, and they're not just young now. Some of them are older men. 50, 60-year-old men, they don't know Hebrew. Listen to this. Nehemiah 8, 1 through 3, and then I'm going to add 5 and 6. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people on a platform. They built a platform. He's up on it reading. He opened it, and all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people said, "Amen, amen." They're lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord and put their faces on the ground. They couldn't understand Hebrew. I didn't read the whole story, but he had men positioned out in the crowd. Ezra would read a little bit, and they would translate it and explain it. And the people stood from morning until midday, standing. And when he would say something and the people would understand it, they'd go, "Whoo! Amen! Amen!" You ever been in a church where they do that? Amen. See, if I say something that I think is a really good point to remember, and I don't hear an amen, I stop and I go, "Y'all just missed a good place to say amen." And I know some of you go, "Where'd that guy get that?" I just read it to you. I get it from the book of Nehemiah, when the people were so excited, even though it wasn't in their language. They were Babylonian now. They understood a different language. They had to wait, hear it in Hebrew, have it translated, and then have it explained, because they'd been carried away in captivity, and for hundreds of years before that, they didn't follow the Word of God. Now they're back, and they're on their feet. Man, what did we put these pews in here for? We ought to come in here, and as soon as the first note on the first song starts, everybody ought to get up and just stand until church is over. Unless you feel led to get on your face right up here, then you ought to get on your face. You ever heard anybody say that in here? You ever heard anybody say, "Where are you getting that stuff, preacher? How about the book of Nehemiah?" They said, "Amen, amen." They lifted up their hands, and then they worshiped God and got down on their face. Don't ever think we're going to invent some way of having church that God hadn't already been there. Don't think we're going to come up with something. "Well, I believe church should be done orderly. I think people ought to refrain from being overly excited." You can. Amen and amen. Woo! Not my God. Not my God. My God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I can ask or even imagine, to him be glory in the church, both now and forever in Christ Jesus. Why am I going to say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to be like that"? What if we didn't have a Bible and every Sunday somebody had to stand up here and somebody else had to turn around and look at you and say what he said was? Sometimes you say, I could use that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When the people heard the word of the Lord, man, they got excited. Some of them couldn't take it. They stood, then they got down. They raised their hands. They shouted. They weren't singing. They were doing it during the sermon. And the sermon lasted for hours. Amen. Good job, Mark. Takes a preacher to amen on that one. I got you. They didn't want to sit down. They said, "We'll stand in reverence to our God. And then when God gets on me, I'm going to get on my face." Wow. Wow. Why do we not do it like that? Why do we not hear? Why do we not see? Why do we not let God, let his word permeate our being so that it changes? Church isn't a club that we just come in here and do our weekly attendance, pay our dues, and go out there and forget about it. That's not what church is about. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm looking at Carrie right now. I don't always get woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I don't need an email from you or text message. I was sleeping good this morning. My wife said, "Did you hear that ding?" I said, "That wasn't yours." She said, "No, that was yours." It was Carrie telling me what God was laying on her heart, and she was excited and thought I'd get excited. I did get excited. I ain't going to lie. I got excited too. Does it matter at your house? You ever stayed up praying? You ever got woke up praying? You ever just open the Bible at home and read it just to see what God might say to you? Or that's kind of just a church thing we do. I got a Bible in my truck seat. I'm going to tell you right now, I got a Bible on my truck seat. And I basically only use it on Tuesday morning when I go over there to CDs. 6:30 in the morning on every Tuesday morning, we have Bible study and eat breakfast and pray together. You're welcome to come. But that Bible is not what I use any other time. It's only for that. I'm going to guess, and I'm not even judging here. I'm just guessing that some of you, when you get in the car today, you're going to turn around and lay your Bible on the back seat, and you'll know it's right there next Sunday morning when you're ready for it. Don't look around. Don't look around right now. Somebody might be looking right at you to see if you're looking funny. That's probably not here. I mean, that's probably at other churches. It's probably like that, not here. See, if you say the joy of the Lord, it sure isn't my strength, then I'm going to question your relationship. I'm not being judgmental now. I'm just saying, what kind of relationship with Him do you have if the joy of the Lord is not your strength? Are you trying to do it on your own? Really? Trying to do it on your own? Self-made man? You want to be that? I don't. I found out a long time ago that doesn't work. Let me remind, this is so easy, and this is just going to be the end of it right here. There are people today who have no Bible. Amen? Do you know people who do not ever go to church ever? Do you know people that you interact with and they don't know any more about God than if He was the man on the moon? Mythology and make-believe. The Bible stories are cute for little kids, but it doesn't work in the grown-up world. See, they don't know. They have not had it translated to them and explained in a way that they can understand it. That's our job. Remember, I told you this is sort of an important line. Here's that line again, Nehemiah 8:10. Go your way, see, it's a celebration day. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There are people not sitting in this room who do not know the joy of the Lord because they do not have a portion. They have not received a portion. That's our job. If we know the joy of the Lord, we send portions out there. Isn't that easy? I'm guessing I could just say amen and we could go. But I'm just going to do a couple more paragraphs. The people with understanding had to explain it to the people who did not have understanding. Do you have understanding? I can't. Bright light. I was looking to see. I got to see how much time we got. I'm going to ask, this is just an aside. I just thought of doing this. I want everybody to close your eyes real quick. Don't look around, please, because it hinders people. How many of you right now believe that if given the opportunity, you could lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. I'm pretty happy with that. Thank you. You can open your eyes again. I don't want you to leave them shut too long. Amen. I'm fading, Pastor. Speed this thing up. See, that's our portion. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I was saying this morning, we were talking about opportunities and how God gives us opportunities. And I was saying that I like to wear my cowboy ministry jacket because people will walk up that I've never seen in my life and they'll say, "What's a cowboy ministry?" And I go, "I don't know. I got this at the Goodwill. I don't have any idea." No, you don't do that. You say, "Well, at our church, we believe that there are people that we may not be able to reach in conventional ways, so we have cowboy church to get them there." And they go, "Oh, it's part of a church." Bam. See, the door gets thrown open. That's what you use things like that for, is to create opportunities and then take the opportunity once it's created. That makes sense to you? See, they don't have understanding. They need those who have understanding to explain to them why the joy of the Lord is my strength and why he isn't their strength. They need to be in relationship. That's just easy. That means we are to take that portion to others. If we're sad and downcast, this is what I said back there, the last thing you want to do is to be in the Walmart parking lot in Ottumwa yelling at somebody, "I had that parking place first. You back out of there. I'm telling you." And you're wearing Broken Sea Cowboy Ministry. And they walk up and say, "What is a cowboy ministry?" "Don't ask me right now. I'm upset. Trying to get my better parking place. I have favor of God. He's supposed to let me." You can get that walker. You can go further than that. Come on. Go park at the end of the parking lot. And smile while you walk. You might run into somebody that needs Jesus. Praise God. That's worth coming for right there. See, you say, "Well, people don't even know who I am. Even if I got upset, they don't know who I am." You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know that. They need to see, the world needs to see that the joy of the Lord is our strength and that it's in me. You've heard it said many times, I'm sure, but I'm going to say it one more time. You may be the only Bible some people will ever read because they don't have a Bible. The people in Nehemiah's day didn't have the word of the Lord. So when Ezra stood up on the platform and began to read, the people said, "The word of God." And they stood up to hear it because they were so excited. This was for them, their history, their culture, their home, their land, their ancestry. It was all coming to pass. We live in a day when that is gone from America for too many families. Two generations, people don't even remember what the inside of a church looks like. There are people today that grew up going to church, but they've quit. They do remember, but their kids won't even know the difference. Two generations away and they're gone. They need a portion, and we need to send it to them. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? We're not voting very good. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, I want you to stand up, then look around and see who's not up and go right after them. Everybody knows to stand up. Everybody knows to stand up. It's out there, guys. It's out there. It's easy to come in here on a day like today and have the joy of the Lord all over us. But it's out there where they have no portion. And they have no understanding. And they have no word of God. And they need us to bring it to them. Would you go? Let me pray for you while you go. Father, go with us in power and glory so that people would never be confused that our good attitude is because of something we've done, but that we would have opportunities to give people a portion that have none prepared for them, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that it can be theirs too. Father, we're praying and believing that you would just bring people into this church. But Lord, it's really not fair for us to pray and say, God, you bring them, when you're telling us, go get them. So Lord, send us as your ambassadors with portions for people who need to hear, and go with us into a lost and dying world where sadness and sorrow are overwhelming people, suicide rampant, drug use rampant. All the ills of our world crashing in on people who need Jesus and the joy of the Lord. Send us to them in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.